What is up, everybody, and welcome to the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. This is our weekly waiver wire show. I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankQBList. I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Heath. You can follow Ryan at QBL Ryan. Of course, please follow our website at the QBList on Twitter. This is week 8. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Just got done watching an incredible Sunday night football game that we got treated to last night.
It was awesome.
Yeah, back and forth, lots of fun. Lots of injuries in that game, which, I mean, gives us a little to talk about on the waiver wire, but just overall, it was just kind of gruesome. I've noticed more and more this season. I don't know if it's new or not, or if I'm just noticing it, but it seems like the broadcasts really love to zoom in on the player that just got injured.
Yeah.
Like they love to show you that he's like crying or that he's in pain. It's like really uncomfortable to me now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's new, but it's something.
Yeah. It's a bit much. Week 8, we're going to go through 40% ownership or lower on Yahoo. As exciting of a week it was for football, it is the opposite for waivers this week. I think this might be the most disappointing week we have. We've kind of been, Ryan and I have been scraping at the bottom of the barrel here for our list. So I think you would agree. There's maybe one guy who we're going to lead off with, but mostly it's really not like anyone I would be throwing a ton of fab at or anything like that, or wasting your number one claim or something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's nothing is super eye popping here. There's more than a few that I'm interested in stashing, maybe after waivers clear, if you want to throw some of these guys on the end of your bench. But yeah, I wouldn't be investing any fab really
at all. I would agree. It's more of a stash kind of thing. All right, so let's get going. Who's number one?
Yeah, so number one, and probably the only guy you should be spending any fab on this week, is Carlos Hyde. Mm-hmm. So last night, Chris Carson, we saw get injured. The report was that it's a midfoot sprain, which I'm not sure I've ever heard of before. But the latest report is that he's considered week to week and he is likely to miss some time. So we could get at least 1 week of Carlos Hyde being the clear lead back in this offense. He put up 68 yards and a touchdown on 15 carries last night, was targeted 4 times, which was actually really encouraging. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Travis Homer, DJ Dallas could mix in, and they did slightly last night, but it seems like Hyde is really the clear guy here. And I would consider him an RB2 as long as Carson's out, given just how prolific this offense is. Maybe he lucks into 2 touchdowns 1 week. Like, we could see that happen.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Travis Homer did kind of get banged up too in the game. I'm not so sure about that, but it's something to monitor. DJ Dallas, he whiffed awful on a blitz pickup. Did you see that in the game?
I did, yeah.
Terrible, which I mean, that kind of is a plus for Carlos Hyde, because maybe Pete Carroll might not trust him as much, going forward. Maybe they want to get Carlos Hyde on the field for third downs and things like that too. So that could be going in his favor too. Like you said, yeah, prolific offense, very pass heavy. So maybe, which is the complete opposite of what we're used to with Seattle. So maybe that hurts Carlos Hyde a little bit. If this was like last year, I might be all in on Carlos Hyde, if they're just going to pound the ball away. But yeah, I think he's like you said, he's an RB2 going forward, at least for these, 1-2 weeks, maybe even 3 that Carson's out.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be usable. And I mean, we've got a lot of bye weeks coming up too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and just the position is kind of a mess right now. It's been this bad before. It's been worse than this before, but it's definitely not great. So grabbing Carlos Hyde to play in your RB2 slot for maybe the next 2 weeks is definitely, it's not nothing.
Yeah, no, I'm sure people need it. I mean, like what, the first like 4 running backs off the board? I mean, like probably half of the first round running backs are all hurt now. So I'm sure everybody needs it. So, Hyde will fill in for that. So,
yeah, definitely. All right. Who do we have next?
Next is Sterling Shepard, who I was surprised that he was only 29% owned in Yahoo. But I think that's probably more due to the toe injury he was dealing with. He got activated off of IR right before the game on Thursday this past week. He came back and he immediately saw 8 targets, which was tied for the lead on the team, and 3 red zone targets, which ended in a touchdown. He ran 26 routes, which was 2nd on the team. I think everyone listening probably knows what Sterling Shepard is at this point. He's a solid, if unspectacular, player, but running out of the slot, I think he's clearly better than Golden Tate. Evan Ingram has been atrocious. And I think that's more has to do with Jason Garrett and forcing him into basically the Jason Witten role, which is, you know, that's a whole other thing I can get into. But, you know, Darius Slayton's kind of been the only usable passing part of this offense. And I think Sterling Shepard will be serviceable. Again, bye weeks are coming up, so I could see him easily, you know, throwing in as a flex if you need him.
Yeah, Shep can definitely be your wide receiver three or your flex with bye weeks coming up, especially. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head, solid but unspectacular. Yeah. I mean, he like the this Giants team is god awful. They're gonna have to keep growing. So
you guys, man.
But yeah, like there's like he could see some volume and be okay. I'm glad that we're at number two and we're already saying he could see some volume and be okay.
and you know, I think Sterling here, he's kind of more on this list because he shouldn't be 29% owned. You know, this is a guy he was being drafted in fantasy drafts and stuff. He got dropped due to the toe injury. People probably just needed a quick fix or something like that. So I think he should be added though. He's not going to like save your season probably, but you know, he's a fine add. All right, number three. Who do we got?
All right, number three. We are going right back to the well here. me and Frank are definitely owned after the three touchdowns from one Jeff Wilson yesterday.
He's in for one of these games every year, it seems like, where he
it always has to happen.
Yeah.
We should have seen it coming.
Yep.
But Wilson did sustain a high ankle sprain yesterday late in the game. Mm-hmm. And after that happened, we did see Hasty get some run. He looked really good and explosive. He was hitting his cuts. He had 9 carries for 57 yards, mostly after Wilson went down. And I mean, like we say this every week, we're always chasing this backfield. Yep. It's really frustrating, but it can produce 3 touchdowns. Kyle Juszczyk had a touchdown yesterday even. But yeah, it's the production is worth chasing in this backfield. It's just going to be really frustrating week to week to figure out who it's going to be. I mean, McKinnon did basically nothing yesterday. Like, it's definitely a struggle.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan, I think, came out after the game and was like, oh, yeah, this is always what we were going to do with McKinnon. He had a large workload like 2 weeks ago, so we wanted to get him some rest. It's like, okay, you could have said something like that, you know? But, yeah, I think the reason why we want to chase this backfield is because it's Kyle Shanahan's backfield. It's super productive no matter who's back there. And now with Jeff Wilson getting hurt, it could be Hasty's chance. And I don't know if maybe they are now kind of – I mean, they gave – Jerick McKinnon like a 92% like work snap share and something like 2 weeks ago. And clearly he's been injured for a while now, and that kind of set him back a little bit, and Kyle's worried about that. So I think Hasty's probably going to be, you know, used a bit coming up, and that's definitely something we want to chase. I mean, seems like Kyle Shanahan is terrified of using Jimmy Garoppolo. I think like Debo Samuel had like negative 19 air yards like last week, last 2 weeks. Like he does not want Jimmy throwing the ball at all. So this backfield is kind of, you know, it's going to be where the offense flows through. So, and that kind of like leads into number four. We are kind of hedging here after getting burned by Jeff Wilson with Tevin Coleman. He could add another wrinkle to this backfield, which is definitely muddled, but he is still currently on IR. He might be coming back this week. We don't know for sure. The timeline when he was placed on IR was kind of set it up to be last week or this week. Haven't really heard anything yet, but, if we hear before, you know, waivers run that Tevin's going to stay on IR this week, I would go much harder on Jermichael Hasty. You could probably wait on Tevin Coleman a bit, but, you know, the question is too with Tevin is how healthy is he going to be? How much can he play? I think it was an ankle injury with him, right? So is he going to be able to be as effective as a runner? We don't know. The preference for me would be Hasty right now, just because we've seen what he can do already these past couple weeks. He has looked a bit explosive, and Shanahan has been impressed with him lately, but that's how I feel. What about you?
Yeah, I'd agree that the preference has to be with Hasty, just because you never want to bet on the player that's coming off of an injury for that first week.
Yeah.
You would think that Coleman would be favored over Hasty, like at least in Shanahan's mind, if both were healthy, hypothetically.
Yeah.
Just with how the depth charts was in the beginning of the year. But we just can't be sure of this stuff. Like maybe Hasty goes out with the backfield to himself if McKinnon's getting another week of rest or whatever, another vacation. Yeah. Maybe he goes out with it to himself and absolutely melts faces, and then Coleman barely gets on the field the rest of the year. Like you never know.
Exactly. And that's why I would lean Hasty too, because as of right now, Coleman's still on the IR. So we don't know if he's going to get activated or not. So I think Hasty has to be probably the priority. All right. Let's go with number five.
All right. So next we got Jalen Reagor. The report just came out. He will likely be practicing this week and is eligible to return. He's been ahead of schedule after his thumb surgery. During the first 2 weeks of the year, he commanded 8 targets, which, I mean, that's pretty good for a rookie that's going to come in and start week one and just command 8 targets. I mean, I think we've talked about why we like his profile before, but he's a really athletic player. He was very dominant in college. And he was playing ahead of Greg Ward at the beginning of the year. It seems like even though Ward had a pretty good game this week, it seems like Reagor should slide right back in there. I mean, these Eagles are still starved for weapons on offense. Yep. DeSean Jackson just hasn't been very effective this year when he's been in the lineup. Alshon Jeffrey is still hurt. He's probably going to retire next week for all we know. So the Eagles really could use some weapons outside of Travis Fulgham. I mean, the Eagles do have a week 9 bye coming up after this week. It's entirely possible that they decide to hold Reagor out through that just to give him a lot of extra time. But I mean, they're in the race for the NFC right now, which is amazing. Maybe there's some urgency to bring him back.
Yeah, it's true. I agree. I was a big fan of Reagor coming out this draft. And like you said, I mean, Travis Fulgham has been a revelation for them, but they need someone else. And I think Rager's going to walk into that role. I mean, without Zach Ertz, without Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders might be out again. And, you know, this is a smash spot potentially against the Cowboys defense that has just been absolutely atrocious. I think I saw a stat on Twitter this past weekend. I'm sorry, I don't remember, tweeted it, that they have like -9 fantasy points on the season, which is the most in like since like 1960. So, I mean, this is like, it would be set up perfectly if Reagor comes back right now. I think you could easily start him this week if he's off IR.
Yeah, if he's reported active and he's not on the injury report, then yeah, I could see him as a desperation flex this week for sure. Maybe in DFS too. They're on the main slate, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. For sure.
All right. So who do we have next?
It lines up for me again, tight end. We're going to talk about it. It's kind of my thing now. Harrison Bryant, he's 1% owned on Yahoo. So Austin Hooper had an appendectomy and a miss last week, and he's probably out this week as well. I'm pretty sure it's going to be that way. Harrison Bryant ran ahead of Njoku, and he had 17 routes on 28 Baker dropbacks. He saw 5 targets, 2 red zone targets. He turned both of those into touchdowns, and he had a nice 4 for 56. For a tight end that's in this landscape, it's very nice. He's a decent enough athlete. You know, he's nothing special. I think his comp on player profiler is Hunter Henry, which, you know, that's fine. And the Raiders are up next, who, you know, haven't been all that great against tight ends. Gronk just had a great game against them. So I think that, you know, if you're desperate, Harrison Bryant can be a decent fill-in this week. Maybe even the next week, too, if Hooper is still out.
Yeah, and today the news just came out that Odell Beckham has a torn ACL. Yeah. Yep. So maybe that's another target per game that trickles down to Harrison Bryant. I mean, it's like we say it every week, we're chasing tight ends. Maybe we'll catch one eventually. But
yeah, and especially with Odell out, and I think Baker also just likes throwing the tight ends a lot to kind of seem that way. And the Stefanski offense kind of utilizes the tight ends a decent amount. So I think, you know, if we're chasing, which we always are, I think Harrison Bryant's not a bad option. All right, number 7.
All right, next we're going to go into Denzel Mims, another exciting rookie receiver that I believe has had a very strong prospect profile.
Yeah, I agree.
So this weekend, you might have missed it because it was the Jets and nobody watches the Jets. But he went out and actually commanded 7 targets in his very first game in the NFL after being on IR for the first 6 weeks. And that's like super impressive that he, like, I understand the Jets have nobody in the receiving game. I understand that Jamison Crowder was out, but to be a rookie and to miss most of training camp and the first 6 weeks and practices of the year and just walk in and command seven targets, that's something that we should pay attention to.
Absolutely.
So that's a guy that you can stash on your bench. And I mean, it's the Jets. Like, it's still Adam Gase. I say this every week. It's still Adam Gase. But I mean, he's definitely an exciting player, and he's someone that you can be kind of sneaky with and stash on your bench, I think.
Yeah, I was a big fan of him coming out too. I think Rager and Mims were two of my favorites, under the radar guys. The Jets had 4 offensive yards in the second half of that game. I could think this every week. I don't think they're going to be this bad going forward. I mean, it was like the Dolphins, though, last year. You know, they got blown out by like 20, 30 points the first like 3-4 weeks of the season, and then they became competitive at some point. I think the Jets' offense has to turn around at least a little bit where people are usable. I mean, Jamison Crowder's had a couple weeks, and I think Mims is a good enough athlete and a strong enough player that he'll have some weeks where he'll be usable for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, a couple more notes on Mims, too. He saw a 79% snap share, which was 3rd on the team.
Yeah.
But he still actually led his team in air yards, which is super encouraging. And Rashad Perriman sustained a concussion right at the end of the game. So there's a good chance he'll be out next week, which is just another opportunity for Mims. And they've got the Chiefs next week. Maybe the Chiefs will put in their second string defense. I mean, this is possible. The Jets are going to have to throw either way.
Yeah, give them a second bye.
Yeah. So, I mean, this could be like a big breakout like game for Mims. And I think you want to get on the train early.
Yeah. I mean, this has been a historic wide receiver class so far. And, you know, Rager and Mims are two of the guys that still had the draft capital, still had the prospect profile. They just haven't broken out yet. And I think, you know, you want to be ahead of that. As we saw with CeeDee Lamb, Ayuk has been pretty solid. Chase Claypool, you know, all these guys, like, let's get ahead of the next one, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Who do we have last, Frank?
All right. I guess it makes sense that I'm going to talk about Wayne Gallman and my awful Giants offense. Devontae Freeman had an ankle injury after he tried to have a blitz pickup and got absolutely destroyed. Gallman took advantage with 10 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown. He had 5 targets. Deion Lewis has barely played. He hasn't looked that great either. Gallman is an average running back, but, you know, at the running back position, we don't really care all that much. Giants, you know, their offensive line has been bad, but, you know, they're going against the Bucs' run defense, so that's also kind of working against them. But Wayne Gallman's probably going to be the lead back in this, you know, offense. So I think, you know, if you're desperate, if you had Devontae Freeman because you had Saquon Barkley and you need somebody, Wayne Gallman, you know, he's going to get the opportunities, which is a lot what we're looking for in fantasy. I don't know how usable he's going to be. I don't think, you know, I would go crazy on Wayne Gallman, but he's going to be a lead back on an offense. And that, however bad it is, we still at least want a lead back.
Yeah, what a brutal series of events has caused us to go from Saquon Barkley to Devontae Freeman to Wayne Gallman.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, he's like we said with the Hyde thing, is there's buys coming up. The position's not in a great spot right now. He's a lead back. You may as well get him on a roster. Maybe you'll have to flex him. I mean, I'm praying for your team if you do, but he's out there.
I will say this, in watching the Thursday night game, I've seen Wayne Gallman play for, I think this is like his 4th year now. That was honestly some of the best that I've seen him run. So I think, you know, maybe he's figured something out a little bit, but no, it's not the most exciting thing in the world. So yeah, I wouldn't be going crazy. I'm sure my love for the Giants is just bleeding through the podcast right
now. we got 2 Giants on the waiver wire this week. Wow. Yeah,
God. All right. We got any honorable mentions for us?
So really quick, I just want to bring up Eno Benjamin. You might have seen last night, Kenyon Drake did get injured. He has ligament damage in his ankle, which sounds super painful.
Yes.
He's a likely IR candidate, so he's probably going to miss at least 3 weeks. We watched Chase Edmonds go in that game and absolutely ball out. Yeah. Hopefully everybody was listening to us about Chase Edmonds for the last 6 weeks. But Eno Benjamin is a prospect that a lot of us were really surprised to see fall all the way to the seventh round. I mean, I know a lot of analysts had him like up with the top 5-6 running backs this year. Like up with like the Akers and the Edwards-Helaires, even a little below them, but still nonetheless a good prospect.
Yeah.
So he could potentially get some run. I don't know that the Cardinals are literally just going to give Edmonds a 90% snap share for the next 3 weeks and just let him ball out. I'd love it if that happened. But like for all the reasons we've been discussing with Edmonds, just with how prolific this offense is, just with how it opens up all these running lanes with the air raid and spreads the field out, could be a good idea to maybe stash, you know, Benjamin right now.
Yeah, and I think worst case scenario is that Chase Edmonds kind of gets put in the Drake role, and then maybe, you know, Benjamin gets the Edmonds role, and then we're kind of like in the same spot again. But yeah, I think Edmonds is a good stash. You've got a deep bench and just want to take a look at him.
Yeah. Do you have any honorable mentions today?
Yeah. So I think, you know, Nelson Agholor probably could have been on the list too. I mean, he led the Raiders in air yards, I think in targets as well. You know, everyone knows who Nelson Agholor is, just kind of like with Sterling Shepard. He's a fine player, but he's getting more run and targets and everything than Henry Ruggs or, you know, everyone but Darren Waller. I think it's obvious Darren Waller is the lead wide receiver, you know, quote unquote, on this team. So, but Nelson Agholor is getting a decent amount of workload. So he's a decent possible speculative ad. I'll throw out Tua Tagovailoa. I think I'm saying that right.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Just as like, you know, if you're in a 2QB league or something, maybe something like that, or even just as a streaming option, I think Tua might have some weeks for you too. So maybe just keep an eye on him as well. I think he's worth at least a shout out.
Yeah, for sure. And then as a final note, I just want to remind everybody about Gus Edwards. I don't know if we've received an injury update on Mark Ingram yet this week.
They said mid to high ankle sprain, which I don't know really what the difference is. But I would guess he's going to be out or kind of limited. So I don't know.
Yeah. So we could see Gus Edwards being the lead back in the Ravens offense this week. That's just another like desperation sort of running back flex streamer play that we can throw in with Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, exactly. We brought up Gus last week to get ahead of it with the bye week. And I think, yeah, it's definitely important to remind everyone if he's still out there, I would try and maybe snatch him up. But, you know, as that backfield's been all season, it might just be split with JK and Gus. And who knows, maybe they even bring Justice Hill out of, you know, off the shelf. So, but I think Gus is worth a look as well. All right. I think that about does it for week 8. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm your host, Frank Costanzo. You can follow me on Twitter at FrankCubeList. Of course, that was Ryan Heath. You can follow Ryan at QBLRyan. Please follow the website at the QB List and like and subscribe this podcast and keep listening for our Start and Sit podcast coming up later this week. And yeah, thanks for listening.